was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
That pale horse is riding, folks.
They claim to seek a new world order.
That pale horse is certainly riding. I tell you, William Cooper, he was right about a whole bunch of stuff. Well, we still have, I believe, Lark on the line, and I'm glad for that. I'm always blessed when Lark comes on and shares his wisdom with us, and no one has really, really dug into communitarianism on this network like he has, although we expose it, and I think that he is correct in saying that we need to start using the word. We need to start calling it what it is. We need to call out especially where it came from, its roots, and learn about it. If not, we're going to be doomed to repeat things in history that have come and happened over and again. And what this is bringing us to is a hybrid of all of these things that we point out. Marxism and fascism and all of the isms. Reminds me of that cartoon from back when we were kids of the snake oil salesman selling isms. I don't know if you folks remember that, but I certainly do. And is Tom in Florida still on the line with us? Tom,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Tom, I want
to give you an opportunity
to...
You're
listening
yeah.
Opinion. What would happen if Donald Trump would run ads nationwide on all the networks? What's happened to all the great cities in the United States of America? For example, Detroit, Michigan, bankrupt. Philadelphia, Chicago, murders off the charts. But speaking of Detroit, you think we'd have won World War II if we didn't have the city of Detroit? And in 1954, it was the richest city in the United States of America. What happens when the Democrats get a hold of cities? There's an example. Detroit was the richest city in the United States in 1954. You can check it out. Go ahead. I want to hear what you got to say.
This is what I have to say. First of all, we all know that... the Democrats are exist for a certain purpose. Now, I think a purpose that many people misunderstand. It's easy to turn the Democrats into the enemy. And what I have discovered in all of my research, and it's no secret that I'm a more paleo-conservative, libertarian-ish person, if you had to make labels. Really, what I consider myself is a Patrick Henry style patriot, because now I've stepped back and I've looked at it from the outside looking in, from outside the Republican Party, from outside the Democrat Party, and what I see is an incestuous relationship between the two. I'm not seeing the difference in these two parties because I understand that the underlying agenda in both of these parties has always been to get us to exactly where we are right now and exactly where we're going. Now, those of us who are more conservative-minded, it's very easy for us, and I think sometimes now I'm beginning to believe it's a grave and fatal mistake if we only point out the Democrats. My father was a Democrat, and he was not any of these things. He realized some things later on in life, of course, but he did things his own way. And that was back in the day where you could still do that in a small town. But what I see happening now is when I look at the founding of the neoconservative movement and you realize who's behind it and you see the Tea Party completely infested with neocons, here's the problem. We're putting these labels like Republican and Democrat on this and not realizing that, you know, McCarthy was right. The problem with McCarthy, though, is he couldn't see behind him. He couldn't see who was in his own party that was the exact same thing as what he was fighting. Big government, totalitarianists in his own party, only they had that flavor of conservatism. They had the flavor of family values and all of the things that attract us, you know, what I consider to be rational minded thinking people. So I don't know how Lark feels about that. I would like to hear.
Yeah, Tom, you're right. But Tom, I got something to say.
Go ahead.
Why did they call them back in the day yellow dog Democrats? You know why?
Yeah, go ahead.
They'd rather vote for a yellow dog than a Republican.
Well,
that's
sure.
Why they call them yellow dog Democrats.
It's a Hegelian dialectic, brother. It's the Hegelian dialectic because some of the Democrats that I know, look at the Jim Trafficking Democrats. Look at the Dennis Kucinich Democrats. Those Democrats that I would actually vote above most Republicans that I know because they actually have a respect for our traditional rule of law, regardless of what some of their social ideological beliefs, where they may lie. Like when you have a morally grounded man that is plugged into, you say, okay, this is the system. This is the law of the land. That man, when he comes to vote on an issue, it doesn't matter what he thinks. It doesn't matter what he believes. It doesn't even matter, and I hate to say it, it doesn't even matter what his constituency wants. The first...
Well, you know, Tom, you said something that was really very important when you started that statement out. You said you're a Patrick Henry type person, okay?
I am.
I agree with that. I love that. What I want to say is where these leftists or even the rightists, I guess you could call them, even them, where they allow, when they go on these tangents about race or about different ethnic groups, they always thought, oh, well, the Democrats got all the blacks are voting for the Democrats, and then you got some white women are going with the ones. But here, Tom, the thing is, when you look at the makeup of the United States, the Anglos, the white Anglo Northern European males are still supposedly in the majority. But the media, who's being controlled by a super minute minority, is like brainwashing people. It's just like a total big brainwash. And it's like, I'm like, wow. And they know how to split the white males with against their pot patriots, I guess you call it. And it's just a joke how they do that.
Well, here's the funny thing is that they've made people believe in a construct that doesn't exist in and of itself, which and that construct is white and black. First of all, there is no such thing, and I know that there's going to be some people that are listening to the audience are about to freak out what I'm about to say. There's no such thing as a white man. There's no such thing as a black man. We all come from different cultures, every single last one of them. Now, there is what some people call Western civilization. That is true. There is a Western civilization, and even that construct. What I like to look at when I look at back to the Anglo-American influence here in this country, I come from my kin are Scottish. And let me tell you something. The Scots had some real problems with the English. The English had some real problems with the Irish.
Yeah, watch Braveheart.
Yeah, and here we have these Marxian whack jobs trying to, and they've done a very good job at programming all of us. And but by the way, they created not just the Black Lives Matter groups, but they also created the KKK. They created white supremacism. They created black supremacism. They created two things, and get this, folks, when I tell you. two things that don't exist in reality, they have manifested into reality. They've made people believe that these things exist. Well, first of all, most black people, you meet, I don't know if anybody has ever seen any pictures of the Crow Indian, but a lot of the slaves of the South were Native American, and the Native Americans, of course, they mixed with the African slaves, and there were, you had Irish slaves that nobody really talks about these days because I guess white, like Casper the Friendly Ghost, kind of just disappears into the background of their narrative. And
they were
the bottom
slaves, Tom. They were Irish slaves.
Well, they weren't just indentured. They were overt and they were indentured slaves, and they were out and right whip crack redneck on the plantation slaves. They took Irish people from here, and they moved, and they brought them down to the islands where they were had cotton plantations, and they were treated no differently than the African slaves. The documentary, just recent documentary, went down there to the islands. I forget what islands they were. They went and they found these Caucasian, very poor families that are the direct descendants of these cotton plantation slaves. Now, why do I bring that up? Were they in the majority? Were they in the minority? It doesn't matter, because basically slavery has nothing to do with the color of one's skin. It is an economic reality of conquest. One group conquers another group, and then they take their conquered, and they sell them for capital to make money on them. And you have both African chiefs and I'm sure a couple of the leaders of what people call white civilization saying that, you know, they built their empires on the backs of these slaves. Rome built the backs of their empire on slaves, but most of their slaves were they looked just like the ones that had them captive. So anyway,
well, they became gladiators, Tom, and also you had Egypt. Don't forget, Egypt had a lot of black slaves.
Of course,
the pyramids were built by black slaves. A lot of them, a lot of black slaves in Egypt.
Yeah, the Africans and Hebrews and everything else. Yes, I know, and they were great civilizations that built the pyramids. And now we have. You know, people come from all over the world to tour. Now, from what I understand, several of the pyramids who were built, they were actually built by paid workers. And we have record of this. We do have record of this in their archives. But much of the manual labor, the non-skilled labor, of course, was performed by slaves. So we have...
Tom, who built the Great Wall of China? Who built the Great Wall of China? Come on, those are slaves.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. And here we go again, another tourist thing. People come from all over the world to see that. And we're, I guess, lost in the narrative is, you know, we have our president standing in Monticello at Thomas Jefferson's residence, and he just couldn't resist himself. He just had to bring up, you know, slavery like it was only an American experience or something, that no other civilization and no other empire ever dealt with slavery. It never had slavery. It was all about the color of somebody's skin. You know, it was a tribal society.
In Africa, the blacks were killing each other, and they're selling their own people into slavery for rum. So who's kidding who?
They still are.
They were selling each other for rum, and that's how all these black slaves ended up coming to America. And by the way, there wasn't that many black slaves in 1865 when Lincoln was assassinated, okay? And if you look at the Lincoln papers, you'll understand that Lincoln knew that this was not going to work. And if you look at his papers doing an hour show on it, you would have everybody in your audience freaking out, because I would like you to do the last 3 weeks of Lincoln's life when he was writing on his papers. And it's in archives in Washington before he was assassinated. And you'll see what his plan was to do with the slave issue. Have a great night, Tom. Thank you.
You too, brother. You have a good night, too. What some people call slavery, I call, not slavery, what some people call racism, I call a culture collision. And that is, I think, a more rational and accurate description of what we see going on. Now, whether these cultures of people have been propagandized and they've been dumbed down or they've been robbed of their heritage and all these things we want to argue about. I think that Dinesh D'Souza makes one argument about the Native Americans I like to hear him make. And it opened my eyes quite a bit because, you know, I have a Native American as my significant other, as well as my family has told me long ago that there's Native American trickled into my bloodline. So it's been something I've been very interested about and very passionate and caring about, but not to the Marxist level that many groups now embrace Native Americans. And I look at it like this, and Dinesh D'Souza says this very well. You had tribes of Native Americans. They were not one group. They were not one identity. They were tribes. And these tribes conquered other tribes and took their land. The only reason that the Crow had the land that they had is because they conquered it from someone else. The only reason that the Sioux had it is because they conquered it from someone else. And if we go by this idea that we need to make reparations and we need to give land back and we need to do all these things, well, then how far does that go? Do we go back to the Crow and say, well, now that we gave the land back to you, now you have to give land back to the Sioux. Now the Sioux has to give land. How do we take that? We take that all the way back to Neanderthal? How far back do we go? This is insanity. It's downright, outright insanity. It's a false reality. It does not exist in the real, rational, thinking mind. But if most people that you walk out there and talk to all know the word racist, it's not a culture difference. Oh, no. To them, that's a foreign idea. It's racist, a term coined by a Talmudic Marxist, by Marx himself. Anyway, we have Lark still on the line, and I want to dig more into communitarianism. Lark, are you still with us? Lark, are you still with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, brother.
Yeah, the name you were searching for, Tom, was Leon Trotsky.
Trotsky, that's it. Damn, you know, Lyme disease, sometimes the...
And by the way, it's no coincidence that the word genocide was coined by a man named Raphael Lemkin.
Yes.
L-E-M-P-K-I-N, and it goes to something called psychological reversal.
Yeah.
And see, the important thing to understand about Talmudic law is that it's not ever fixed law. It's administrative policy. In fact,
yes.
Here's a quote. By and large, most communitarians feel the need for something at least akin to the golden rule. Should exist within a system of justice if civilization were to be worth preserving. But increasingly, the sense is that this must be someone else's job, just not theirs.
Yeah.
The two things that all of us listening right now stand to lose that is most important is first the expectation of privacy and the right to own property under the law.
Mm-hmm.
To include that inherent right to own your own mind, body, and the fruits of your labor.
Wow,
secondly,
all of it's under assault.
And secondly,
all of that.
Is this thing called the Golden Rule. Now, Rabbi Hillel said, who is said to have lived from about 30 B.C. to 10 A.D., or shall we say 10 B.C.E. to 10 C.E., to be politically correct today.
I don't do politically correct.
He said, what is hateful to thee, do not unto thy fellow man. This is the whole of the capital L law. The rest is but commentary.
Mm.
And every faith-based tradition that we can think of has something that's akin to the golden rule.
Yeah.
And when the law becomes so intelligible, so incomprehensible, that the people are afraid of their shadows, they have to gain permission to do damn things, and you can bet we live in a system of totalitarianism.
Yes, sir. Well, Lark, we have to take a break. Please hang on with me. We will be right back. Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
These
statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make ProtoVite part of your healthy lifestyle.
HealthForLiberty.com is your source for ProtoVite, a powerful nutritional supplement that's a true breakthrough for your health. Poor digestion makes it nearly impossible to absorb the nutrition your body needs. ProtoVite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology and the highest quality ingredients to nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra White. 6 weeks ago, when I started taking ProtoVite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points, and my fibromyalgia pain is gone. And so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking. I'm 66, living life and loving it.
Go to healthforliberty.com right now. That's healthforliberty.com.
Thank you, ProtoVite, for giving my life back.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Given certificate is under ownership. Once you know the true predicament, you got a phone to pick. Citizens had to be pledged as collateral chattel before the monarch could start the international battle. They tricked your parents into a human monopoly. That's why they registered you as biological property. When Britain hatched the plan to snatch the land, they gave you a legal fiction. Now that's the jam you find yourself stuck in. You're such a cool victim, indoctrinated in Rockefeller's public school system. Your presidents work directly for the crown. Truly, I did my due diligence because it's my dedication. Duty. Oh, bureaucrats trying to fool me. The Commonwealth is dying to rule me. All I can tell them is welcome to Guantanamo. Thank you so much for coming.
You could be free again.
Oh, that would be grand.
Only if you would see my friend.
But first, you must understand.
They pathologically pretend.
Hoping to get you on the the shit. Let them persuade you to agree with them.
And that's it,
man. It'll never cease to end.
Perpetual conflict.
Free again.
Indeed, you could take the shackles off.
But have you ever really been?
According to maritime admiralty law,
you never will be free, my friend.
If you fail to reclaim
your tax money, they freely spend on wars that never seem to end. United States is not a country, but a corporation contractually created by the Constitution. Let there be no debate. Your founding fathers intended you be a citizen of your respective state, not a citizen of the U.S. domiciled in Washington, D.C. Oh, yes. Prior to 1921, upon arrival, the birth of babies was recorded in the family Bible. But after the Great Depression, people really lost their noodles, so they signed a document that simply squandered all their scruples, joining the ranks of former slaves' children, becoming a 14th Amendment citizen. The Social Security Act, written by actors, manufactured to make it look like a beautiful package. Too bad you never heard the news. The Social Security Act equals voluntary servitude. Notice the deceptive language. You bow to tyranny again. And voluntarily, my friend, 14th Amendment citizen, you better learn to speak to them if you want to be free again. The President of the United States don't answer to the Queen. He answers to some shadowy cats that you've never seen. Frank Van de Klip wrote about it in the Evening Post.
Welcome back. Resident Republic, Camp Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN. We have Larson, Texas on the line, where we are discussing the complete insanity of most of the natural world. Communitarianism is a word that I agree with Lark is something that we need to learn, we need to use, we need to bring this to the light. Lark, you were in the middle of saying something before we went to break. Would you like to finish your thought, brother?
Well, I'm not quite sure really what I was saying, but I wanted to speak to Joseph McCarthy and some other comments made earlier.
Okay.
Here's something that I wrote some time ago. You're not what you think. You're not what you say. But you are what you do. And a lot of people can't grasp that. It took me a long time to grasp that. See, you know, the average RBN listener, he or she will say, well, gee, I'm not a communist. And I'm not a Marxist. And I'm not a communitarian. You see what I'm saying? And then you go over to a left libertarian or a left website, and they'll say, well, you know, I'm not a fascist. You know, I'm not a Nazi. You know, and it's just ludicrous. I mean, we just have to grow up. I mean,
yeah.
Marx himself said that the Hegelian dialectic, so-called, although it emanates from people that came before him just as much from Hegel.
Sure.
His predecessor, Johann Fichte. But they adopted the Hegelian dialectic so as to advance a Marxian interpretation of philosophy, science, and history. And I hear the music. Sorry.
Hear the music, but... well, I guess we're going to have to go to it. Automatically. See, that's the neat thing about late night poofs. I took care of that. Go ahead, brother.
Well, anyway, Roy Cohn, of course, during the infamous Army McCarthy hearings, was hired by Joseph McCarthy. Now, here is a Jewish homosexual. That is representing this senator from Wisconsin who was supposedly trying to expose communism, especially in the film industry.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I use that term. It was a joke, really, when I say McCarthy was right, but he just couldn't see the people in his own party. You know, I sometimes say I make too light of some of these historical things to try and make a joke, to provoke a little bit of thought about the two-party system of the Hegelian dialectic. But yeah, you're right. I should probably be a little bit more careful.
And here's the point I want to make about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Roy Cohn was an early mentor of the young Donald Trump.
Oh, damn. Oh, you know,
Mike Pence.
I got that look on my face. I see from
Pence is a communitarian.
All the time.
Reince Priebus, chairman of the Republican National Committee, is a communitarian.
Yes.
Senator Mike Lee of Utah is a communitarian.
Yep.
Both senators from the state of Texas are communitarians.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people couldn't understand why these Republican senators backed Common Purpose, or a.k.a. Common Core, so staunchly. And here, an underlying truth that you're bringing to light is that really they're just two wings of the same totalitarian bird.
Well, the National Governors Association is behind Common Core.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Gates practically owns the brand.
Yep.
And Clint Richardson did some research about where the name first came about and in what corporate entity and where was it created. It was in India. It's at his website.
I was not aware of that.
Common Core. Let me see. The National Governors Association, just like the U.S. Conference of Mayors, all these police officers' associations, trade unionists. See, in this country, we know the word syndicalist or syndicalism because of the Wobblies, International Workers of the World from the 30s.
Yeah.
But see, the encyclopedias have been scrubbed. Syndicalism is an integral part of this thing called communitarianism, because what it is, it emanates from the medieval European guild system.
Well, let me ask you a question before I lose my thought on it. You said that the Common Purpose or Common Core, you know, for what I know it to be, its older roots as Common Purpose, originated in India. Was that British colonial India?
Yeah, because we've all been lied to. We were told that the wretched peoples of the Indian subcontinent won their freedom from the Brits. I mean, this was a huge lie, just like the libertarian hero, Mohandas Gandhi. His life was a complete lie, too, because this guy was a Freemason, a member of the British Bar.
Yeah, don't get me started on that sucker.
But, I mean, yeah. we've got to... The only thing I really want to say tonight, and I'm sorry to be on that I stayed on so long. I didn't mean to, but
you're always welcome, Lark. Whenever you feel so inspired to come on this show, you have it was a wonderful experience we had meeting with you in Texas during Rod Class's seminar, and I highly respect your opinion, and believe me, brother, whenever you want to take the floor on this show, you are more than welcome.
Well, we just have to up our game, okay? We're adults here listening to this broadcast, you know? And I know that it's really... Because, see, I've been victimized by it myself. I mean, having 100 tabs open? I mean, my goodness. Do we ever even read anything? Nikki Rapana herself said that nobody reads anymore. Heck, I wrote a book myself in 2006, 10 years ago. But I realized I wrote the damn thing for myself. So I didn't even bother to publish it. I mean, people don't read anymore. I mean, you know, even when they think they do read, think about this seriously. When you go into a dictionary and you look up the word read, it also means to guess.
Mm. Wow.
And see, and Clint Richardson speaks of English language as dog Latin. It's malleable in 100 different ways. I studied copywriting, branding, and marketing pretty seriously for about 3 years. I thought I wanted to be a copywriter. But, I mean, I've got all kinds of notes about copywriting and how people are used. you know, we're familiar with this term cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
Well, see, this is an affliction that affects us all. It doesn't matter who you are.
Well, there's
another word, Tom, and that word is slide.
Once that we reach a certain point, and I know that I've reached a certain point that I think that, you know, I have a pretty decent knowledge base. However, the older that I get, oh my God, my father would be happy. He'd be smiling and laughing when I'm about to say this. The older that I get, I realize the less I know.
Well, it happens to all of us. I mean, I'm 62 years old. I mean, you know, we never stop learning in this life, and we never stop learning from each other. I mean, I'm going to tell you about this word slide.
Go ahead.
It's a euphemistic word, and it's defined as a conditioned response which dead ends one's thinking, and or it terminates debate or an examination of the topic at hand.
Yeah.
Now, these people within big media, intelligence circles, Madison Avenue, I guarantee you they know what this word means. Now, because I studied copywriters, see, speech writers know about this. Script writers know about this.
Yeah.
It's industry jargon, okay? And what we need to understand is that if when we look up the word read, and we also understand that it can mean to guess, well, this is entirely true. Because very often there's nuances of meanings, interpretations, and definitions of words that we don't necessarily call to mind when we are reviewing or guessing about what somebody is trying to convey, whether through the oral or written word. And see, these people know how easily we're led, just like sheep, to slaughter. And they play us like a fiddle. It's disgusting, and I really hate to see a lot of really good people being taken. I can't stand getting conned and cheated. And I especially don't like to see earnest, decent people getting taken. And this is how I see my fellow Americans today, being conned and taken while they keep us divided and conquered. It's very, very frustrating. It makes me just want to withdraw. You know, I cannot stand getting into these ridiculous arguments, and especially during this election season. We have to understand that the reason Ron Paul, at least one of the reasons why he was so in our face on the Talmud Vision, in the Jew snooze over two federal election cycles, is because they had to introduce this libertarian meme into the national discussion. Libertarianism is a form of socialism, just like Marxism, just like fascism. And if you really want you want proof of that, go to some of these libertarian websites and read their stuff. You know, I was very curious about libertarianism because, see, before 2006, I was completely apolitical. I was very naive about politics. I didn't give a flip about it.
Yeah.
But I closed the business that I'd had for 12 years, and I decided I wanted to just try it and learn something.
You know what's concerned me with I've had some folks call me up about Bruce and I are working on a homeschooling curriculum, and I've had many people call me and discuss with me the Ron Paul curriculum because he does teach a lot of the true history, and you have DeLorenzo and you have Professor Tom Woods who does tell the truth about the research that Bruce and I put forward about the 14th Amendment, how senators were kidnapped and how that whole process was subverted. So, you know, of course, it's very easy for folks like Bruce and I to get very excited, like, oh, these guys are telling the truth. And then I had someone else call me the other day
who said, you know, I was checking out the Ron Paul homeschool curriculum, and you know, it came to my attention that this is all being written by very staunch Roman Catholics, and that of course that in and of itself, the Roman Catholic folks, the people out there, of course, are just good people, like the American people, like the Jewish people, like the every other people that don't follow the doctrines of man, and they don't subscribe to necessarily like the Talmud. Like we were talking about Jews that don't, many of which that have no clue what's in the Talmud, and many Americans who have no clue that many of our founders were scallywags who really sold us under the bus. But, you know, I started thinking about this and libertarianism. Yes, Ron Paul did embrace the libertarian audience. But what is the end goal of, I mean, when I hear Ron Paul talk, he talks about, you know, anti-war, pro-life, the ending of the drug war. Where in Ron Paul's ideology, not the libertarian ideology, but specifically Ron Paul's ideology, something that he espouses or stands for openly, can we identify as being subversive?
Well, there's been an argument within libertarian circles for many years. We have to understand, first of all, how the word came into being and when it became popularized in America. You know, it was said to be styled after classical liberalism, which is what many of the founding fathers supposedly, and in the era of enlightenment, you know, Thomas Paine, Age of Reason, Rights of Man. Okay, it was popularized, but you can look up libertarianism, you know, online in the encyclopedia, and you look at the thoughts of the thought leaders. That they've got a whole list of them, and they've got their biographies. You know, but first of all, Ron Paul was never able to reconcile his idea of nationalism and patriotism in the Constitution without defining his terms as accurately as he could have, especially in light of true history. The other thing was, is this thing called, to contrast that, many libertarians, especially techies, which techies were very prominent within the circles of Ron Paul supporters.
Yeah,
I know, because I wrote for a website here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I was the writer. It was called DallasForRonPaul.org.
Right.
And that is, to see, you know, to a techie, they don't care about all these messy nationalist laws. They don't care about borders. You know, many of them propound anarchy. You know, Peter Thiel calls himself an anarcho-syndicalist. He's the one that funded Campaign for Liberty. John Tate, you know, the guy that was the guy that was tapped on the shoulder to head that initially. I mean, there's so much fraud, in you know, emanating from that whole world. Things that are, you know, that just are irreconcilable. But I could tell you the communitarians want to dissolve nation states and all forms of sovereignty. They want to dissolve them.
Well, here's
and you have to ask yourself, who's leading the charge? Who is leading the charge?
But here's the problem with, and we got to get to a caller that's on the line in a moment, but here's the problem with that I have, the conundrum that I have with most libertarians that I know, that I talk to and that I'm familiar with, all believe very rigidly in the concept of the constitutional state citizen, not the, and also identify, as I do, the fact that we are not a country, but we are a union of individual countries. So within the libertarian community, do we have a good portion of them that are awakened, that understand the concept that nationalism is in itself inherently dangerous.
I've never met a libertarian yet that even knows the name William James Sidis.
I'm not talking about the name of a man. I understand where you're coming from.
Tom, William James Sidis is the one that popularized this word libertarianism before World War II. You know? And then all your leading libertarian thinkers were members of the Pilgrim Societies during and after World War II.
But what has it become?
Friedrich von Hayek, you know?
Ludwig
von Mises.
But what I'm saying is, that's a good point. You have the Mises Institute, and
you have to ask where they got their money.
That's a good point. But if we trace this back enough, and what I'm saying is this, maybe it's a semblance of the mindset of reclaiming the narrative. For instance, the John Birch Society, we know the brothers, the Welch brothers, owned a candy company that was essentially purchased by the Rockefellers, right?
That's right.
So we know that the Rockefellers had money and involvement. However, that being said, if you were to listen to the speech that John Welch gives that I played on this show regarding the United Nations and the communist influence, now, of course, he didn't. What I like to do is this. I think I'm getting to this. What I like to do is I like to reinfest or reinfect or retake the narrative by stepping into these groups and taking the best and the most accurate of their information from each of them, not just any one, because you stick with one and you end up getting corralled. But for instance, the Birchers, that UN speech, the libertarians, yep, we got to end the drug war, are you getting where I'm coming from? If we don't start grabbing these people back from these groups saying, you have the right idea in this, you have the right idea in this, we need to find a solution and we need to basically break out of these boxes that we've allowed these elites to put us in.
I know one thing. If Americans actually want to be independent, then they need to be thinking seriously about what this word means.
Yes. Yes, that's a good. Actually, that's a good thought. Mark, stay on the line. Stay on the line. We have Jeff in Missouri. I've been making him wait for a very long time. I don't want to make him wait any longer. Jeff in Missouri, you're on the line.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can.
I didn't mind the wait. I enjoy Lark, and I'll enjoy your show also. No, I was going to bring up the law, the 102-14. The Talmudic law, the seven Noahide laws that was brought into 1991, I believe it was, by old George Bush, I believe. When you look into their encyclopedia that was put out about 1906, I think, their Jewish encyclopedia, and you read what those laws are, they apply to the chattel, the goyim, us. Not so much the Jewish people, and it just seemed pretty one-sided.
Oh, no, they have their own law. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but for them to, be putting that on us and us sitting there and allowing it and not even knowing the difference.
You mean Education Day? Oh, well, that was just a ceremonial thing. Didn't you know that?
Yeah, well, see, it took me a while to put all this together. I'm been awakened for a while, but... Like you say, you go through stages. It's like, well, I didn't know that.
I know. It's like getting hit in the forehead with the 2x4.
Oh, yeah, you're awake. Well, how long you been awake? Oh, okay. Well, you still got some shocks coming, buddy. Don't let it get you down.
I know it. I still have some coming. I'm sure I still have some coming as well. But you bring up a very good point.
Enjoy your show. I'll let you go.
Thank you, sir, very much for your call. And you know what? I'll give the floor to Lark on that whole public law, Education Day, Talmudic law. That's a good specialty of yours, Lark. You want to expand our minds on that?
Well, it was originally called Education and Sharing Day.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually read it.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman Bill Dannemeyer, Lorraine Day's husband, was in the Congress at the time. He wrote an article about it. drday.com.
Mm-hmm.
They're still alive. They're old, you know. Bill has got a, you know, he broke his hip or something or other, but, you know, he's in his 80s, just like Dr. Day. But, yeah, I mean, I tell you what, that was a disgusting realization for me.
It was eye-opening for me.
That was because I realized that for the first time in American history, all Americans were to be divided between Jews and Gentiles.
Yes. Yes.
Now, one thing about communitarian law, it's oftentimes called Neoplatonism. It's also called neocolonialism, even neo-feudalism. It's a system of parasitism.
Yes. There you
look up in your concordance this word freeloading.
And not for anything, but you know, I know that we talk about Jews on this network all the time in Israel and all of that, and you know, some people out there, the harsh critics of the Trotsky-esque variety, like to call us an interesting buzzword that's been associated just to the criticism of that group. But, you know, I urge people to truly, really do consider when you've been kicked out of 109 different separate individual countries, there might just be where there's smoke, there might just be fire. At what point did the world lose its cognitive abilities to say when 109 countries have taken the same action that there might be some smoke where, you know, there might be some fire
American
here?
Your average American doesn't even realize that capitalism itself is a Jewish construct.
Oh, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, because I hear me hearing the word capitalism all the time, and these pundits, especially of the neocon variety, and the front man that they have right now for Donald, the dangerous faggot tour. Milo Yiannopoulos.
He's surrounded by him.
Yes, Milo Yiannopoulos and Ben Shapiro and all of the, you know, the Milo Yiannopoulos, who's on right now, he's on a tour called the Dangerous Faggot Tour. He is a homosexual conservative, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I understand. Escort services did very well during the RNC.
What's that?
I understand that the male escort services did quite well during the Republican National Convention.
Oh, sure, they had a bunch of Bohemian Grove Moloch worshipping Satanists there, I'm sure. You know, but my
by the way, Dennis,
the reason I mention this, Lark, is because I think that I see something happening here. I see the campaign for liberty. I see all of these libertarians that are rallying behind the Trump bandwagon, and they all seem to be following like the Pied Piper, this one who is self-described now, folks. Don't call me a hater. He's self-described as the dangerous faggot who happens to be a Greek. Get this, a Greek-born Catholic Jew.
let me say this about Dennis Kucinich. His wife is an Italian communist. This is
That's
her
a
word.
Shame. That's a
and
shame.
And by the way,
I used to like
Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum was a red diaper baby. Melania Trump's daddy is a communist.
Oh, boy.
I mean, these are their words, not mine. It doesn't matter to me how people self-identify.
No, it doesn't matter either. I don't care. I don't care what you do in your own
life. I mean,
life.
I don't hate anybody. But
I don't hate anybody either, but when I see people leading, it's a different story to me than just people living their lives, right? When
these
I see people,
people that call
leading,
themselves Jews in America today, they control the money. They control Wall Street, they control Madison Avenue, they control Hollywood, they control both political parties and the Libertarian Party. Their candidates, by the way, are both cryptos, Gary Johnson and William Weld.
Yeah, I never did. I hate to say it. I never really have been a big Johnson fan.
And they control big media. You know, I mean, they control at least, it said, at least 96% of all media pathways in the country. If anybody wants to read a good article, they need to read something called Jews Caused the Civil War.
Wow.
They can also do a search. We thought they were white.
Huh.
We thought they were white.
Yeah. Well, you know,
all these white nationalist parties in Europe are all been infiltrated.
Can I ask you a question, Mark? Back in the days of the Roman Empire, what did the Romans call those that had a skin color that was different than themselves?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, it wasn't white. They were barbarians. They were there was all sorts of different words for them. But this term, white and black, this is a Trotsky creation. It does not exist. It does not exist. And I say that it does not exist because I have found that everybody around me, they look, well, that's a black guy, or that's a white guy, or this is white this, or this is black that. And so I really wanted to learn where this began. And you don't see white and black and all of this.
That's right. And let me leave you with this because the time is short.
That's okay.
Monopoly capitalists and the communists have the same end. Control over all means of production.
Yes.
The reason why the communists targeted the bourgeoisie, because this was the only competition for the intelligentsia at the top. They expanded the bureaucracy, which was the nomenclatura, to create an impenetrable firewall between the now impoverished, pauperized bourgeoisie, that's the middle class, so that they joined the ranks of the proletariats, that's the wage slaves and the dependents.
Yeah.
And they accrue all the wealth unto themselves at the top. And this is what occurs in any kind of socialism system, socialistic system that you can think of.
Mark,
all socialistic systems are caste systems.
Before you leave, I want you to tell all you folks out there listening that say, well, I'm not this and I'm not of that group and I'm not of this group. Any of you who have, without much resistance, understood or complied with zoning, could you please tell our folks what zoning is?
Well, look, it goes to regionalization. And I'm going to tell you something. One of these days we're going to have to talk about this Constitution.
I know.
I don't call myself a constitutionalist.
Oh, I do, but I'm referring to the articles.
But anyway, it's been nice talking to you tonight. I want you to close your show out.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
We'll talk again.
We will, and I look forward to it every time, my brother. Folks, this is Tom Lacabara Stewart. I do call myself a constitutionalist, but I'm not referring to the same that most people refer to. See, I, like Patrick Henry, know that I, too, smell a rat. Folks, we'll see you next time. Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. God bless you.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine.
stimulate the release of others like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report. Broadcast from 12 to 3, Monday to Friday, Central Standard Time. We cover medical issues, geopolitical, spiritual, and others. And you're welcome to call in.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.